generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
I'm sorry, Brittany Benti, but I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. Guy, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that? For the human
Americanism,
race.
Not globalism, will be our credo.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again.
Good evening, everybody. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back here with you tonight on Wednesday. We have a lot to talk about tonight, lots to get into. Kind of a slower show tonight, not as much to talk about, because this Gaza war, it just isn't happening. Where's my war? Where's the conflict here? And I know it's terrible tragedy and everything, but what the heck? I mean, we've been waiting for this thing to start for like a week. First, they said they don't have enough time to evacuate. Then they said it was raining too much. Then Biden had to go over there. Where's the war? Where's the invasion? They're all talking online about it, but I don't see any fighting. So they're just bombing innocents. That's not a war. That's like fighting the AI. That's not even a fight. That's just killing. So anyway, so we're still waiting. We're still waiting for something to happen here. Come on, do something. Do something. We're still waiting. So the big super show for when this war kicks off remains elusive. But we'll be continuing our coverage tonight anyway. It's Gaza War Day 11. Is it day 12? Does it say day 12? Should say 12. Also, I think my frames are low here. There we go. Okay, yeah, it does say 12. All right. So we're continuing our coverage with the 12th day of the war. And we'll be talking specifically tonight about Joe Biden's trip to Israel, which happened today. Pretty uneventful. He gave a speech. Apparently, he secured a deal where Egypt will be able to send in humanitarian aid. But that's it. Not really a big deal or anything. And this is a trip that was diminished by the fact that Mahmoud Abbas canceled in Jordan. It was supposed to be multiple countries. Biden was supposed to visit Israel, and then he was supposed to head on to Jordan, where he was supposed to meet with the King of Jordan and the President of the Palestinian Authority. But that got canceled after the hospital bombing yesterday. So the trip got cut short. He just visited Israel. He gave a speech, and they say, well, he didn't leave empty-handed because he got this deal. Hang on, somebody's calling me. What's going on? Am I live? Can you can everybody see me? Are you kidding me? What? I swear, dude. Fucking stop. That's crazy. Anyway, I'm like, am I offline? Am I muted? People are calling me. What's going on? Wow, not my day today. That's crazy. Anyway, dude, you're getting blocked. Blocked. You just can't be doing that. That's crazy. Okay. Unbelievable. Anyway. My hair was all fucked up today. And that's why I was a little late. And I'm gathering the news and everything. People are calling me during the show. Man, can it just be the weekend already? What's the story here tonight? Anyway. So, I don't even know where I was, but basically the trip, here's the purpose of the trip. He is really there just to show that Israel, that we support them. That's all that this is about. It's got nothing to do with aid. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's about deterring Iran and Hezbollah. That's why Biden was there. So we'll talk about that. That'll be our main story. We'll also be talking tonight about this just outrageous situation at Harvard. You might have seen it already, but there was a big article about it today in the New York Times. this group, which is funded by a Wall Street Jew, has put out a truck outside of Harvard University with a giant electronic display with the faces and names of all the students on the campus that oppose Israel. Not making this up. It's a doxing truck. So there's a conservative nonprofit group called Accuracy in Media, again, funded by a Wall Street Jew named Bill Ackman. Go on his early life on Wikipedia. And they've sent out a truck with a giant digital billboard, a giant digital display with the faces and names of more than 30 Harvard University students that signed onto a letter blaming Israel for the war. And the purpose of this is to dox them. They've been harassing these people and their families. And, you know, it's funny because all these students are probably, I would imagine, hardcore left wing. I'm sure they would have no affinity for a guy like me. And stuff like this has been happening to me, not just a guy like me, but to me for my entire adult life, ever since I decided to speak out against Israel, which has been since I was 18 years old. I've been attacked in a very similar fashion, and nobody defends me. They join in on it. I'm talking about these left-wing types, even the ones that support Palestine. Regardless, it is so outrageous. I can't tell you how bothered I am about it personally. This is the United States of America, and yet these people are a fifth column in our country. I'm talking about Jews. And clearly it's not just the so-called right-wing, conservative, whatever. It's a lot of them. It's even the liberal ones. ADL is out there doing the same thing this week. And we talked a little bit about this last night, the fact that Israel has effectively become a rogue state, or they're a latent rogue state, in the sense that if the United States were ever to confront Israel, Israel would blackmail us with nuclear weapons. And potentially, it might be impossible for the American state to stand up to Israel because of how deeply penetrated the American elite is by Israeli Jews or Israel-sympathetic Jews. And this is just another example of that. The fact that we have no sovereignty in our country. You've got these berserker Jewish groups. They have all the money in the world, and they put it behind activism to go and dox college kids because they don't support Israel. And this is supposed to enforce the American consensus that we stand with Israel. And I realized all this stuff years and years ago. I know for people to watch the show, it's nothing new, but when you realize what's going on, it's literally like putting on those glasses in that movie, They Live. Like, when you start to see what's going on, you realize it's an alien occupation of our country. It's like if aliens came down from outer space in flying saucers, and they were shapeshifters and they took over our country. That's what it would look like if you could see it the way that we see it on the show. It's totally outrageous. So we'll talk about the doxing truck, and that'll be our show. Like I said, kind of a slower show tonight. It's been a lot of great coverage the past week and a half, but things are clearly slowing down a little bit. We'll probably heat back up whenever Israel decides to move forward with the invasion. But for now, there's somewhat of a reprieve. And I'm being a little bit glib about it. Don't get me wrong. It's still a horrible tragedy. And, you know, I'm making light of it a little bit because we're covering it on the show. We're all here together and everything. But, I mean, honestly, I never thought of it so much this way before. But as I get older, I see these videos of the dead kids and people, and you realize that nobody wins in a war. And I don't think that I've never been pro-war, but as I get older, I realize just what a travesty it is that these things go on, because you look at what's
happening in the Gaza Strip, and it's just an unspeakable horror. And no one's allowed to talk about it because it's Israel. And that's why I support the Palestinians. One, because they are true victims, and they're truly being victimized in an awful way. But also because when I see these huge protests in the major cities with the Palestinian flags waving, I hear a lot of conservatives, and they say, we got to get these people out of here. All this immigration, and now we have Muslims protesting in our streets. But the only reason they're saying that is because if the Muslims weren't there protesting, nobody would be protesting, which is shocking. And it's such an irony, because I don't want mass migration into the United States or into Europe. By the same token, if we didn't have a large numbers of Muslims, or even you could say broadly speaking, like non-white people moving into these cities, there would be no opposition. And I think about that with Donald Trump. I've been a Trump supporter basically from the beginning, but I've also noticed in the past year that if Donald Trump were president now, we'd be supporting Israel more. We would have been more supportive of Netanyahu throughout this year. We'd be more supportive of what's happening right now. Similarly, if we didn't bring any refugees, nobody would be protesting in the streets against Israel. It would be uniform. Everybody, if the entire country were white people that watch MSNBC or Fox News, there would be a total consensus. And the percentage would go from 70% supporting Israel to 100% supporting Israel. There'd be no demonstrations in Chicago, no demonstrations in New York, no demonstration in the Capitol. And what that would signify is that the country is dominated by Jewish Zionists, and there is no base of opposition anywhere. That's why they're so aggressive against BLM all of a sudden, and the refugees, and even the BDS movement on the college campus, because what you have to recognize is that these Muslim groups receiving support from the Muslim world, they're independent from the Zionists. There's nothing like that in America. There's nothing like that in Europe. In other words, if it wasn't for these support networks, and if it wasn't for the generational antipathy towards Israel and the Muslim diaspora in America, there'd be no institutional, there would be no organized opposition against Zionist rule in the United States. And what a sad reality that is. And do you want to know why that is? It's because white people don't support it. Muslims do. Muslims do support the anti-Zionist cause. Muslims do oppose feminism and homosexuality. White people don't. And you could say, well, I do, well, I do, but none of our rich people do, none of our elites do. Shame on us. For all the people want to talk about it, even the ones that do resist it, they don't even want to use their real names online. You know? And I get it. I understand why they do that. But that's why I push back so hard against these Zionist conservatives that all of a sudden say, well, BLM and Hamas are one and the same. It's like, well, you know, I guess I'm on the side of them then. And do you want to know why that is? It's because BLM and Hamas are not depriving America of its sovereignty. They say BLM supports the Palestinians, and they're both for liberation. Well, I'm for liberation too then. I'm for a little liberation as well. Because, in case you haven't noticed, we're not in charge. So, and it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. They say these Palestinians they oppose are, you know, American non-whites. They say these American left-wing, non-white groups that oppose the Zionists, they say, well, they oppose whites too. Yeah, well, if it wasn't for them, nobody would be saying anything. I mean, I'm out here, but nobody would be in the streets. Nobody would be protesting this. nobody would be on the campuses, and there'd be professors supporting it and everything like that. And what a shame that is. And you can't talk about the American sovereignty movement without talking about the Zionist lobby. That's the other part that makes me so mad, is these conservatives that go out there this past week, week and a half. And these are people that have said for years, oh, they're populist nationalists. I'm a populist nationalist. We want American sovereignty. If it's not clear by now, the number one impediment to American sovereignty is the Jewish fifth column in the United States. It's everywhere. We're going to talk about another example of it tonight with this doxing truck, but it's what we talked about with Shapiro and Charlie Kirk and Mark Levin and even Alex Jones. Alex Jones said that Sandy Hook didn't happen, but he blames Hamas for the rocket strike on the hospital yesterday. Really? There's your conspiracy theorist. There's your tinfoil hat, anti-war conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones, American legend. 1776 will commence again. He thinks 9/11 was fake. He thinks Sandy Hook was fake. The election was fake. But Hamas attacked the hospital yesterday. Really? 1776. Yeah, more like 1948. 1967 will commence again, says Alex. The libertarian Protestant. I can't take it anymore. I just, across the board, because it's all of them. You realize it's all of them. You realize I was right. I was right. Okay, I fought with everybody, and people say, wow, you just can't seem to get along in the conservative movement. Well, now you see that that's because the conservative movement is bought and paid for by Israel and by the Jews. And Jews are not Christians. And they have more allegiance to their own cause than they do America. So when I go out there and say, I'm the real America first, I'm the real patriot, I'm the real Christian, now you know it's true. Because from Charlie Kirk to Mark Levin, from Ben Shapiro to Alex Jones, they're all going out there to support these lies. They're all going out there and standing behind Israel. And the people that aren't, it's few and far between. We know who they are. You know, you've seen them on Twitter, people defending me and people, and a lot of them disagree with me on maybe a lot of things or some things, whether it's the Carlin Borsenko or it's Lauren Chen or even a guy like Jake Shields. I don't know that the four of us have 70% of our views in common. We probably disagree on a lot of things, but the one thing that we all have in common is we all love America, we all want the truth, and we can recognize that what is going on here with this Israeli-Palestinian conflict is it's revealing just how deeply penetrated our country is by a foreign subversion, by a foreign influence operation. It's wrong. And that's why the cause is America. The cause itself is America. The cause is not conservatism or nationalism or populism. The cause is America. We want Americans running America, not these other people that don't care about our own country. So anyway, I'm just like, I have never been more charged up about this issue than I have been this past week. And you know me, I have some pretty extreme views and my rhetoric has been pretty out there. Extreme compared to the garbage that we're fed all the time. But I can't tell you how enraged I am seeing what happens here, because you realize the whole game is totally rigged against anybody that is trying to do the right thing. And in other words, anybody that loves their country, anybody that loves, not their country, anybody that loves this country, and anybody that loves Jesus is just screwed, because you can clearly see with all the shilling and all the lies that it's people that love a different country and that don't like Jesus that are running everything. We think we have this opposition against the Democrats. That's what my whole show is about. We think us white people that love America, or anybody for that matter, you know, non-white people too, we think that we have this conservative movement, this opposition to the left, which is ruining everything, but we don't. There's no opposition. There's no opposition at all. The opposition is controlled by the same people that are running the mainstream, that are running the status quo. And we know that. And we know that it's not critical race theorists, it's not the woke, it's not the left or the Democrats, it's organized Jewry. Clearly. They call Charlie Kirk an anti-Semite, and he comes out there, although with some frustration, and says that Hamas blew up the hospital. Alex Jones venting the other day, and he's been sued for $100 billion and everything, and he comes out and says Hamas blew up the hospital. And Trump, backstabbed by Netanyahu, and he puts out a post on Truth Social saying he stands with Israel and Netanyahu. They're all like that. Meanwhile, Shapiro and Levin are talking about nuclear war. If the Goyim don't give them our money, they're going to blow up the Middle East. They're going to nuke Iran. They should be put in jail. Ben Shapiro should be deported. He should be put in jail or deported because he is a traitor. That's treason. That's the definition of treason. Same thing with Mark Levin. I am so sick of that repugnant, odious little man. Mark Levin should be put in jail. The great one, the constitutionalist. Constitutionalist, my ass. He's a Zionist Jew. That's his first allegiance. Everyone knows it. Mark Levin. He's going to go and lecture Fox and Friends while they sit there with their hands in their lap like good Goyim. And he's going to tell them how Israel can do whatever it wants. Well, you should go live there then, Mark. Go live there. But they won't. They're here because their purpose is to be double agents to make sure that the money and the guns and everything else keeps flowing. They're here effectively as a parasitic force. That's what, by definition, they are, is a parasitic force in the sense that they are an alien organism. They have attached themselves to this country to support their own country, their own entity, to the detriment of this one. So by definition, that's the symbiotic relationship that is parasitism. It's what it is. They're not here providing a benefit to America at all. They're here to make sure that Americans continue to support the country they really care about. That's why they're here. That's why they're running American media, whether it's Joel Pollack or Shapiro, Prager, Levin. That's what they're here for. And, you know, I'm the guy like, hey, let's remove that element. Let's get this parasitic element out of the equation. They shouldn't be running the media. They shouldn't be running the government. If they love Israel so much, they should go there. They should go live there. They're up to nothing but trouble over here. People in this country with wealth and influence that have more loyalty to a foreign nation, they can do nothing other than harm. How can you see it any other way? I mean, I see these people's faces every day on Twitter, whether it's Shapiro or Levin or Kirk or Prager, you know, whoever, on these shows. And they are all in on the information warfare. It's like we talked about last week, the show I did about atrocity propaganda. You have to realize that public opinion is the front line for the battle as well. In the same way that Israel is bombing Gaza, in the same way that they are mobilizing their forces in border with southern Lebanon, your mind is also the battlefield. Twitter is also the battlefield. They need America to support Israel so that America will go to war with Iran if called upon, if necessary. That's what they're here for. And they have a word for it. Wouldn't you know, they have a word for it. It's called Hasbara. Go ahead and look up that word, H-A-S-B-A-R-A, Hasbara. And by definition, it's a kind of diplomatic offensive that the Jews wage against every country in the world on behalf of Israel. You can look it up right now. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a bad reading of the Talmud. Whenever you find a segment in the Talmud that says, kill all the Gentiles, they say, that's a bad reading. Wow, what a coincidence. Wow, that's good. They should take that out then. They should have taken that part out where it says that. But you can look it up. It's called Hasbara, and the purpose of it is to go into the Gentile countries and to act as an emissary, to act as a sort of ambassador. A better word for that is spy, traitor. And they're supposed to be here to improve the public perception and the public image of the state of Israel. And why do you think that is? What would be the purpose of that? And naturally, they care far more about public perception for Israel in a country like the United States than they do in a country like Niger. And that's because the United States has more money to give them. It has more money to give them. It has more guns and bombs and soldiers and technology to benefit Israel. That's why it matters so much that they have a presence in LA, New York, South Florida, in the media, and in these strategic locations. Yeah, but it's wrong. This is wrong. And the sooner you wake up and realize that our greatest foe, they're not our greatest ally, they're our greatest foe. It's the enemy within. This is the country that's holding us back from having our sovereignty. I'm not blaming them for all of our problems at all. I'm acknowledging and identifying the fact that they have totally subverted and infiltrated the United States of America. And at a time like this, you can see why that's detrimental. Maybe it doesn't seem like such a big deal any other day of the week. But when Israel is barreling towards a war with Iran and drawing us into a nuclear exchange with other countries in a world war with Russia and China, it becomes apparent why this is such a problem. It becomes apparent why it's a problem when it's Iraq, when it's Syria, and now. So people got to wake up and realize it's America, man. It's America first. Forget conservatism. Forget the Constitution. We are in survival mode. It's about America. It's about, do you raise your right hand and swear allegiance to America and Jesus Christ? That's the banner. The banner is the American flag, and it's the crucifix right next to it against the Star of Remphan and all that other stuff that's going on over there. So, anyway. I don't even know where we're going with that. I guess I was talking about the... I'm not even there yet. I'm introducing the topics for tonight. So that'll be our show, which we're not there yet. You know, we're going to get into that in a moment. So anyway, we'll dive into the latest news. I just have to go off for a minute because I'm just furious. And look, it's not about hating people. It's not about hating a group of people, which is always what they like to say. You know, nobody talks about hating Jews more than Ben Shapiro, which is ironic. I think Ben Shapiro says Jew hatred and dead Jews more than every Nazi and every anti-Semite that has ever lived. You go on their timeline this week, and it's literally Holocaust, Holocaust, dead Jews, Holocaust, Holocaust, Jew hater. That's all they can say. That's all these fucking people can talk about. Holocaust, anti-Semite, Jew hater, blood libel. That's all they can say. And it's not about any of that. It's about, we want our independence and sovereignty as a nation. That's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's not hateful. It's not extreme. We believe that the people influencing Americans, the people in politics in America, the people in American government, should take a blood oath and swear to serve America only, exclusively, first and only. Forget even America first, it's America only. If you're serving any other country, you're wrong. You need to go there. That's what this has always been about. And if they can't do that, then they shouldn't be in those positions. If you can't swear an eternal allegiance only to your country and to Jesus, you shouldn't be in these positions. I mean, what's wrong with saying that? Who would disagree with this? And if you can't do that, go live in the country where you can swear that loyalty to, Go live in a country where they have that religion, where you can do that for. But you can't be in positions in this country if you can't do that here. I don't think that's outrageous. So anyway, I can't stand it. But, you know, people in this country, they just take it. People in this country, they just take it because they're weak. Fundamentally, they're just constitutionally weak, spiritually weak. You know, these boomers. I'm so sick of these boomers, man. They're like 100 years old and they haven't figured it out. 100 years old and they're still blue-pilled. Anyway. But it is what it is. That's how it goes. So you know what? In the absence of that, I'll take the Palestinians. In the absence of any of the Americans wanting to die for America, I'll take some Palestinians in this country that just don't like Israel, you know? I would rather have a President Ilhan Omar than I would a president that's going to do everything for Israel, because at least we get a little change here. At least it would displace the current foreigner in the White House, which is the Israel lobby. Anyway, so we're now I'm just ranting and raving, but I feel very strongly about it. And it's got nothing to do with hating anybody. It's just wrong. This is not just. This is not right. This is not just. America should be led by Americans. We are entitled to have representation and leadership and a home, not just Israel. So anyway, but we're going to get into that. Before we do, I want to remind you to smash the follow button here on Cozy. Get a push notification whenever I go live. Follow me on Rumble as well. Follow me on both, because I'm live on both every night. Also, follow me on Telegram. The link is down below. And with that, we'll dive in here. And our first story, I guess I'll talk about the doxing truck first, because this is what I'm heated about right now. So like I said, in case you missed it, there is a truck, it's a digital billboard outside of Harvard, which is doxing Harvard University students who signed a letter blaming Israel for the war. And this is a story from New York Times. It says, quote, a coalition of more than 30 student groups posted an open letter on the night of the Hamas attack, saying that Israel was entirely responsible for the violence. The letter, posted on social media before the extent of the killings was known, did not include the names of individual students. But within days, students affiliated with those groups were being doxxed, their personal information posted online, their siblings back home were threatened, and Wall Street executives demanded a list of student names to ban their hiring. A truck with a digital billboard paid for by a conservative group circled Harvard Square, flashing the students' photos and names under the headline, Harvard's Leading Anti-Semites. And you know, like even that word, at this point, even that word, it just triggers me. You want to know why? Because nobody cares. I just can't believe how they jump up and down about anti-Semites. Get a load of these anti-Semites. And like, this is me on behalf of my people to all of the Jews talking about that. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism. Everything's anti-Semitic now. Everything and everyone is anti-Semitic. The truth itself is anti-Semitic. If we talk about George Soros, it's anti-Semitic. If we talk about the ADL, it's veiled anti-Semitism. If we don't believe Israel's propaganda about their war, it's anti-Semitism. If we have the wrong position on the Israel-Palestine war, you're an anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater. More dead Jews. That's what they always say. That's what Ben Shapiro's been saying all week. If the Goyim don't give Israel all their money, it means more dead Jews. He loves that phrase. He keeps saying it, dead Jews. That's what he keeps saying over and over and over again. Not even Israel. He doesn't even say Israelis. He doesn't even say Israelis will die if the United States doesn't support Israel. He doesn't say that Hamas will kill Israelis. He says, if America doesn't support Israel, you get more dead Jews. That's what it means. If you don't support Israel, it means more dead Jews. And they want to sort of shortcut and skip ahead. Basically, if you say something that the Jews don't like, you want to kill them. That's what that's intended to do. When they put up that anti-Semite label, it's putting up a mental roadblock. Or better yet, it's like a shortcut to saying, you want to kill us. You want to kill people. So when you criticize George Soros, shortcut, you want dead Jews. You criticize the ADL, you know, hey, maybe there shouldn't be a Jewish activist group controlling social media in America. Oh, what? You want people to die? And same with all the rest. And in some ways, it's actually good that the term is being oversaturated, because we need people to start to hear that and roll their eyes. We need for people to hear these things like Holocaust denial and anti-Semite and go, oh, brother, that again? Oh, really? Oh, that's anti-Semitic. Oh, it's another Remembrance Day. Because I don't know about you, but I am so sick and tired of being browbeat and buried with this bitching about anti-Semitism. Newsflash, the Jews are one of the wealthiest groups and most influential and most powerful in America, in the world. That's why ADL is claiming responsibility for bankrupting Twitter. A $45 billion company is now worth, they say, $8 billion because of the ADL, a Jewish group. But remember the Holocaust, you know. We can't talk about that or else, you know, remember the Holocaust. Anyway, so I mean, they put that billboard up. Hey, get a load of these anti-Semites. It's like, don't you do anything other than call people anti-Semitic? Anyway, the article goes on. It says, campuses have long wrestled with free speech, what is acceptable to say and what crosses into hate speech. But the war between Israel and Hamas has heightened emotions, threatening to tear apart already fragile campus cultures. Complicating it all, outside groups, influential alumni, and big money donors who are putting maximum pressure on students and administrators. At the University of Pennsylvania, donors are pushing for the resignation of the president and the board chairman after a Palestinian writers' conference on campus invited speakers accused of anti-Semitism. Okay, let's read that one more time. Donors for University of Pennsylvania, which is an Ivy League school, want the president and the board chair of the university to resign because there was a writers' conference on the campus that had a speaker who was accused of anti-Semitism. Think about this. You're a university. You're an Ivy League university. There's a writers' conference on the campus. A speaker shows up. Jews have called that person anti-Semitic. So now the president and the board chair of the entire school have to be forced to step down. And that call is being put in by the huge money donors who financially support the school. That's one example. It goes on. It says, at Harvard, a billionaire couple quit an executive board. Another donor pulled money for fellowships, and Larry Summers, a former Harvard president and treasury secretary, criticized leadership for a delayed response to the Hamas attack in the student letter. Presumably, these are all Jews that are pulling the financial strings. Is that anti-Semitic to say financial strings? Is that a dog whistle? Is that a trope? No, they're Jewish donors removing their money. But that's happening at one Ivy League school, UPenn, two Ivy League schools, Harvard University. It goes on. It says, this is not the first time that Harvard students have taken an unpopular view, but those involved with the letter had not anticipated that their statement would go viral and unleash such repercussions. The students had to contend with people's lives being ruined, people's careers ruined, fellowships ruined. And this is after Bill Ackman, the Jewish Wall Street philanthropist who funds the group that's putting up the billboard, said that he's going to go on Wall Street and make sure none of the people that signed the letter get hired. So let's just take a step back and think about the examples in this article. So apparently, University of Pennsylvania is controlled by Zionist Jews because they want the leaders of the university to step down. We think that the UPenn University president and board chair are in charge of the university. That is until the donors call up and say that they both have to resign because an anti-Semite was spotted on the campus. Now, who do you think the donors are that made that call? And why do you think they would care? Because there are Jewish Zionists that are deeply invested in what's happening in Israel. Then at Harvard, you have Larry Summers, who's a very famous, influential, rich alumni, who says he's never been more disappointed in Harvard. A Jewish billionaire couple left the board of Harvard, and other donors pulled money for fellowships at Harvard. So we could say, just based on those two examples, that Jewish Zionists who have allegiance to Israel are very influential at two Ivy League schools. Harvard, which is considered the most prestigious university in America, but the most prestigious Ivy League school, and with a very prestigious law school and business school, and University of Pennsylvania, which is home to the Wharton School of Business, which is considered the finest business school in America. So Zionist Jews pulling the strings for two out of eight Ivy Leagues, and specifically the best law school and the best business school in the country. Then you have Bill Ackman, a Wall Street billionaire, who said that he's going to go to his friends in Wall Street and tell them not to hire the people that signed the letter, and he's going to fund a conservative group to dox the people that signed it. So we have Zionist Jews clearly deeply invested in the conflict in Israel because of their allegiance to Israel, a foreign state, that control the most elite business school, the most elite law school, two Ivy League out of eight universities, and with connections on Wall Street. These are just a few examples in the New York Times. But then you add to that what we've already talked about in the show, the extent of conservative media. Joel Pollack at Breitbart, Ben Shapiro at Daily Wire. Daily Wire is the number one publisher on Facebook. Dennis Prager running Prager University, a partner with YouTube. So it's all of conservative media, for the most part. Rupert Murdoch, a close personal friend of Bibi Netanyahu, who owns Fox News and New York Post. Virtually all of conservative media, all the biggest properties. Daily Wire, Fox News, New York Post, PragerU, Breitbart, all control their influence by Zionist Jews deeply invested in the conflict in Israel because of their allegiance to Israel, a foreign state. And how about what we talked about on Monday, that the Secretary of State of the United States of America makes a trip to Israel and says, I'm not just the Secretary of State, I'm also a Jew, and this resonates with me. Okay, so let's just think about a handful of examples that we've covered just on this show. It's the Secretary of State, the top diplomat of the United States of America. It's Wall Street. It's all of conservative media, including News Corp, with Fox News and New York Post. It's two of the Ivy League universities with the most prestigious business and law school. And that's not even taking into consideration the ADL, which we've been covering for months, a Jewish group which says they have a line in with every big tech company from YouTube to Facebook to Instagram to Twitter, and who just forced Elon Musk to go on a Twitter space with the president of Israel and Ben Shapiro to promise that he'd make a trip to the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp. And you can see this is the extent of their influence, and this is what it looks like when they use it. We're talking about big tech. We're talking about mainstream media. We're talking about academia. We're talking about the State Department. And when Israel is at war with Palestine, as I said, that's when we see what flexing their influence looks like. They're going to make sure that anyone that opposes Israel gets their fellowship canceled, gets doxxed, doesn't work in Wall Street. They're going to make sure that the presidents of the Ivy League universities enforce a pro-Israel position on campus. In the state of Florida, they banned pro-Palestinian activism under the civil rights law. They're going to make sure that Twitter censors anybody that's critical, and that they're taking great care to suppress anti-Jewish speech. And it goes on and on and on like this. And whether you support Israel or you don't support Israel, you know, there's some people, for whatever reason, they think that Israel should win the conflict or something like that. Let's step outside of our feelings about the conflict and let's pretend it's any other conflict. And let's pretend it's any other people. This level of subversion of elite institutions by one group, which is clearly coordinating and clearly playing a team sport in support of a foreign country in a conflict, is wrong. That's not right. And if it was anybody else, we would all be able to see that. Everyone would be able to see that, not just people that may have stumbled into watching this show. In other words, could we entertain a scenario where all of those examples I just listed were Chinese nationals? And what I mean by that is, let's say the United States was at war with Taiwan, or rather at war with China in Taiwan, or something like that. Let's say China was at war with India over a border dispute, and you had Chinese billionaires pulling their money out of Harvard and UPenn and demanding the resignation of the leadership because there was anti-Chinese sentiment on the campus. And could you imagine if Chinese, ethnic Chinese nationals with sympathy for the Chinese Communist Party were running Breitbart, PragerU, Daily Wire, Fox News, New York Post? And could you imagine if the Chinese Defamation League, the Chinese Anti-Defamation League, was bragging about how they write the community guidelines for YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Discord? And could you imagine if the American top diplomat, the Secretary of State, went to Taiwan and said, hey, I'm not just American, I'm also Chinese. So I my parents came from China, so I'm on your side, actually. If we could just imagine a world where that would be the case, people would feel very brave speaking out against that, wouldn't they? People would feel very bold and very brave and very justified for saying, this is America. We don't want any Chi-Coms running our country. We don't want Chi-Coms infiltrating. They shouldn't own land here, and they shouldn't be paying their way into the universities and Wall Street and all the rest. They shouldn't be running the State Department. Everybody would recognize the problem immediately, and everybody would feel no shame or no fear to speak out against it. But that's because that's not what's happening. People do not feel fearful to speak on such a thing, and people would immediately locate the problem because that's not what's going on. What is going on is that all those things that I described are Jewish Zionists. And so, as a matter of fact, because they're the group that is wielding power, they're able to reinforce a certain kind of programming to never suspect this. No one would immediately recognize the problem. People look at Antony Blinken going to Israel and saying, I'm a Jew, and they say, wow, that's touching. You know, they don't immediately recognize the problem there. They don't immediately recognize the problem with Jewish Zionists yanking their money from the universities because there's a anti-war sentiment going on. Because the conditioning because they're in power, they've been able to reinforce this conditioning that this group is above suspicion, when they're precisely the group that should be suspected. And of course, people are fearful to talk about it because, given that they're the group with the power, they're unable to carry out reprisal and retaliation rather than any other group. This is why I will not hear anything about the Chinese communists or the Saudis or the Freemasons or Albert Pike or whatever. The mad scientist that Alex Jones says, the World Economic Forum. You want to know why? Because nobody's pulling Harvard's endowment for talking about Klaus Schwab. Nobody's pulling out of University of Pennsylvania for talking about Albert Pike. Nobody is flying to China and saying, I'm Chinese. So if you support America as an independent nation and American sovereignty, this is the issue that has to be confronted. And I don't even like these Palestinian types necessarily, because when you look at Harvard University, if 30 Palestinians get together and write a letter against Israel, not to be prejudiced or anything, but without a doubt, those are 30 far-left liberals like Ilhan Omar. And yeah, they're against Israel because Israel's killing their homeboys. But in no other way are they related to us politically. And as a matter of fact, they probably have anti-white views and things like that. I mean, not to jump to conclusions, but I think that's a pretty safe bet. So I'm not even saying this to defend those people or their letter in particular. It's about analyzing how this power structure works. And realizing that in America, let's have a complex, comprehensive view of how power works. And let's recognize the role of money. That the universities are not run by their professors or the presidents, but it's run by the donors, because the donors pay the bills. And let's recognize that the government's not run by the politicians, it's run by the donors that put up the money for the campaigns that the politicians have to win. And let's recognize the fact that to boycott Israel is against the law in some American states. But for Israel to boycott, or for Jewish donors to boycott institutions that don't support Israel, is not just legal, but encouraged. In other words, if I go to a university campus in Florida and I say we have to sanction Israel for its treatment of Gaza, I go to jail for a civil rights hate crime. But if a Jewish donor pulls their money from a university or from a campaign, if they pour money into a primary opponent because some congressman voted against a resolution saying Israel isn't racist, again, it's not just legal, it's encouraged. So let's recognize that so much of it proceeds from money, that so much of American power proceeds from money. And let's also recognize where the personnel come from. When we look at something like American government, do you think that the representatives actually write the laws? The laws are thousands and thousands of pages long. Do you think that these 110 IQ politicians that we elect, do you think they're really poring over, reading and writing these bills before they... No, someone else is writing them. Who's writing them? Think tanks, lobbyists. Now, where do you think these think tank lobbyists and staff aides come from? There's only 535 members of the bicameral Congress. So it's pretty selective. You would think that if they're going to pull on the most elite people, they're going to pull them out of the private sector or straight out of the university. What universities do you think they pull them out of? A lot of the people on the Hill are also lawyers. The politicians themselves, Supreme Court justices, they're lawyers. Where do lawyers come from? Come from law school. Where do lawyers on the Supreme Court come from? They come from the most prestigious law schools. And so when we look at the universities, which are clearly influenced by Jewish Zionists, a better way to look at them is as elite-making institutions. The academia is where all the elites are made. The elites in business, the elites in finance, the elites in government, the elites in the legal system. They come from the Ivy League business and law schools. And when major Jewish donors swoop in on Harvard and University of Pennsylvania with financial pressure and political pressure because they don't quell anti-Israel sentiment on the campus, it not just is a statement on who runs Harvard and UPenn, and it doesn't just affect those campuses, it's a chilling effect on all the Ivy League universities. And it sends a message that if Dartmouth and Yale want to avoid similar problems, maybe they better be proactive. So you've got these universities where the Jews are not affected by affirmative action. You know, non-Hispanic whites are underrepresented in the Ivy Leagues because of affirmative action. Jews are not. Jews are 2,000% overrepresented compared to the percentage of Jews in the American population. So when you look at stats like that, and you look at the donors that pour money in there, and you look at the kinds of professors at the universities, you realize they're churning out the next generation of leadership. This is Jewish Zionists that are running these universities that are churning out the lawyers that become the Supreme Court justices, the lawyers that become the senators. They're churning out the lawyers that write the laws. They're churning out the businessmen that run BlackRock, which manages the trillions and trillions of dollars in assets of the global economy. They're churning out all the people that make the decisions. And they're clearly partial to their own kind, and they are totally hostile to people that are against Israel or considered anti-Semitic. That's why it's such a scarlet letter to be called an anti-Semite. Because if I go and move to Oklahoma and I get called anti-Semitic, if I go and work at the general store, no one's going to care. If I go and I live in the middle of nowhere in Iowa and outside of some, you know, millenarian Protestants, if I get called anti-Semitic and I go to work at the local school, no one's going to care. But if I go to work in Wall Street, everyone's going to care. Want to know why? Take a wild guess. Why are they going to care more in LA or New York if I'm called an anti-Semite? There's a reason they affix that label. It's a signal. It says, do not hire. And it says that to who? It says that to the Jews in the entertainment industry, the Jews in finance, in the universities, across the board. That's it says it to Antony Blinken. It says it to Shapiro at Daily Wire. It says it to the rest of them. And I got a tip earlier from somebody today. I'm not going to say who, but I got a tip that Dave Rubin, who you may know, Rubin Report, he's with DeSantis, who's a gay Jew. Dave Rubin is going around and calling people and trying to get certain conservatives fired from their job because they took the wrong position on Israel. This is a guy who, for years, his whole position was, I may be a liberal, but we ought to be able to have a conversation. This is just amazing. We get to have right and left people are having a conversation. Isn't this crazy? Don't burn this book. He says, don't burn this book. Let the right and the left talk. Now he's picking up the phone and saying, Oy vey, shut it down. Get him fired from his job. He's an anti-Semite. He's anti-Semitic. Get him fired. Dave Rubin, the gay Jew who kidnapped children. He calls them adopted. I think that's kidnapping. And you see that this is the kind of occupation that we're living in. Gaza is occupied in one way. We are occupied in another way. But it's an occupation nonetheless. And, you know, like I said, I don't even care too much about these students in particular. It's been happening to me and anybody who speaks out. But they're just so brazen. You know, a Jewish billionaire pays this obnoxious group to get a billboard and just drive it around doxing kids and say, you're an anti-Semite, you're a fucking anti-Semite. And everyone's okay with that because it's Jews, who we all know are untouchable. So you get these obnoxious people saying, we're going to dox anti-Semites. It's wrong, man. It is so wrong. But I, you know what? And that's why I'm proud that I am like the number one target. That's why I'm in some sense proud that I get accused of that, because nobody can ever say that I was remotely complicit in any of this. You know, that's my reward is for me. I recognize before many other people how rotten and corrupt the system is against America. You know, I'm not naive. I know that there's a certain level of sausage making in any state. You know, there's a lot of rot in any nation, so to speak. But our country is totally subverted by an alien power. And I guess the one thing that I get to say is I'm not a part of it. You know, they say you're not a part of it. And I'm like, I know. Thank God. I'm not a part of that machine. I'm an American patriot. And we need more of that. We need more people that love their country enough to start making some sacrifices, man. Nobody wants to lose anything. Everybody wants to say they're a patriot until they actually have to do something patriotic, like say Israel shouldn't control America. So, anyway, that's that. I want to move on. I want to get into the latest on this summit. Biden's foreign visit to Israel, which, like I said, was sort of uneventful. But that's okay. We're still waiting on war. So let me get set up here. Let's see. So our featured story is about the war in Gaza, and there's not too many major developments. I want to just go over briefly the visit and some other aspects of it. And before we really get into the details of it, just to catch you up to speed where we are now. So we're still waiting on Israel. They have blockaded the Gaza Strip. They're bombing it. They have cut off all the resources going into the Strip. And they're preparing what it seems to be a ground invasion. They're preparing to go in there, but it's going to be a very complicated war because this is going to be urban warfare. They're going to be dealing with tunnels. It's going to be a counterinsurgency. They're going to be dealing with these potentially more sophisticated defensive capabilities like loitering munitions and drones and, you know, primitive stuff, but it's newer stuff. And so anyway, it's going to be complex. People are saying that that's partially the reason for the delay, is that this is going to be a long war. It's going to be brutal and intense urban fighting, and it's going to be logistically difficult, like I said, because you're dealing with clearing a lot of buildings and tunnels and that sort of thing. The other complication is that Iran is mobilizing its fighters surrounding Israel. Iran is sending in its militias, which is Hezbollah in Lebanon on Israel's north. They're sending in the Shiite militias in Iraq in the east, and potentially the Houthi rebels from Yemen in the southeast. And Iran is saying that whatever happens in Gaza, they may preemptively attack. These militias may preemptively attack. So that is why, as we've talked about, the United States has deployed assets to the region. There's a couple of aircraft carriers there, Marines. And so this is like a Mexican standoff here, where Israel's about to go into Gaza. The Iranian militias got guns pointed at Israel, and now the United States has guns pointed at Iran. The purpose of this trip, so Joe Biden made a trip to Israel today to meet with the prime minister, and it would seem that they either accomplished nothing, or maybe we'll learn what they accomplished later on. But it would seem to me that the primary purpose of the trip was not to work out a deal. Biden was schlepped out to Israel for the purpose of demonstrating that America stands with Israel. It's really more about reinforcing the deterrent threat that the United States would intervene. That's what this is about. Because it's Israel going into Gaza, and the United States is there to make sure that Iran doesn't interfere. But Iran may interfere if it doesn't really believe that the United States would intervene. So initially, the United States put one aircraft carrier there. Then they send in another one. Then they send in more jets. They send in a number of other F-16 fighters from elsewhere into the region. And then Biden showed up. And the purpose is, just like what we saw with Taiwan, when Pelosi went over there and when some other ranking congressional leadership went over there, the purpose is to reinforce the idea that we are invested, that we can deter the threat of Iran going in. Because like I said, if Iran doesn't believe that the United States would get involved, then maybe they'd go in. So Biden is there to reassure Iran, yes, if you intervene, we will attack you. That's the primary purpose he was there. Now, what was really interesting is this. Today, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, reminded the world that Russia has hypersonic missiles in the Black Sea that could theoretically strike the American carriers in the Eastern Mediterranean. He said it's not a threat. He said it's just a reminder that we have hypersonic missiles that can reach you. And now you're starting to see the world war take shape exactly like I've been laying out for the last week and a half. Didn't I say that's how it would happen? It's these reciprocal and it's a reciprocal chain reaction, so to speak. Israel attacks Gaza. Iran attacks Israel. The United States attacks Iran. Russia attacks the United States. United States attacks Russia. This is how it widens and escalates. So Biden goes to visit, and the purpose of the visit is to, again, I don't know that there is any real diplomatic mission here. There's nothing that Biden couldn't have done over the phone that he needed to do in Israel. Him making the trip is a dramatic gesture for the benefit of Israel, and it's mainly to signal. The gesture is meant to send a signal that the United States will follow up with its deterrent threat. We will respond. We will potentially attack Hezbollah. We may even attack Iran. But now this is complicated by the fact that Russia is saying, hey, well, we'll attack. We can attack you too. You can attack Iran. We can attack you. And this is where these other countries get involved. And Russia's pissed. We've been in Ukraine now for a year and a half. And these guys like Lindsey Graham are out there saying, yeah, we're killing as many Russians as we can. That's a strategic reason we're intervening in Ukraine. Lindsey Graham had some roundtable interview several months ago, and he said that the investment, all this money that we're giving to Ukraine, is meant to kill Russians and to destroy their military equipment. Like, that's been the primary purpose. It's not to win. It's to frustrate and diminish and degrade the Russian force. So now that the United States is trying to keep everything together in the Middle East, and there's a chance that we may go to war with Iran, what do you think Russia's going to do? When we've been bragging for a year and a half about how our missiles are blowing up their tanks and our bullets are killing their people, what do you think Russia's going to do if we wind up in some shooting war in the Middle East? They're going to be doing the same thing to us. And they could do it better because they have more stuff than we do. And they can make more of it. So this is a story from the New York Times. This is about the visit. It says, quote, President Biden headed home on Wednesday after a wartime trip to Israel, where he forcefully vowed that the United States would stand fast with Israel in its war against Hamas and unveiled a newly brokered deal to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza from Egypt. Hamas, the Palestinian group that controls Gaza and is battling Israel, blamed an Israeli airstrike without citing evidence, a claim that was widely accepted across the Middle East, where many people see Israel as an occupying power backed by the United States, which it is. Biden said, quote, based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you, he said to Netanyahu. But there's a lot of people out there not sure, so we've got a lot to overcome, a lot of things. Mr. Biden did not leave Tel Aviv with nothing to offer critics who say the United States is supporting a brutal siege of Gaza that will only lead to more civilian death. He told reporters he had secured agreements from Egypt and Israel to allow international humanitarian aid into the besieged strip, offering the first hint of relief to a humanitarian crisis that has left the enclave's 2 million residents facing acute shortages of basic necessities. The American president said the Egyptian government had agreed to let 20 trucks of aid into Gaza as a test, which could start arriving as early as Friday. If Hamas militants who control the Gaza Strip intercept the aid, it will be cut off, but if not, Egypt would let more in. President Biden also announced $100 million in U.S. aid to help civilians in Gaza and the West Bank, and said he had secured a commitment from Israel's government to allow food, water, and medicine to be delivered to Palestinians in Gaza from Egypt, and a humanitarian effort overseen by the UN and others. So that was the trip. Like I said, if you read the press release, it's very thin, and basically he went there to give a speech. Now, Biden didn't go over there to give a speech and to talk about humanitarian aid. He went out there, one, again, to reinforce the deterrent threat against Hezbollah, and two, probably, even the announcement of the aid deal and the $100 million, that's really like a payoff for all the Muslim countries that are pissed off at us because of what Israel is doing. We've got to keep the situation under control, because if it blows up, we are dragged in. So the $100 million, I imagine, is a way to lubricate things going on over there and to tamp everybody down. But that was the big speech. There was some new evidence that came out about the hospital bombing yesterday. This is from antiwar.com. It says the American Friends of the Episcopal Diocese of Jerusalem described the cause of the blast as a direct airstrike. Israel had also warned the hospital to evacuate in the days leading up to the bombing. The archbishop, who is the head of the Episcopal Church in Jerusalem in the Middle East, which runs the hospital, said hospital managers were warned by Israel three times since Saturday to evacuate. Then it accidentally got blown up by Hamas. What are the odds? The Israeli military acknowledged the warnings were made, but claimed it was part of an effort to evacuate people from North Gaza and insisted that the hospital was not a target. However, the hospital was hit with rockets on October 14th in what the AFEDJ described as an Israeli rocket attack. The New York Times said it verified videos posted after the attack that showed artillery shells typically fired from howitzers Palestinian groups in Gaza have not been known to use, and Israel frequently fires artillery from howitzers into the enclave. So we basically know that Israel was responsible, although there hasn't been too much discussion about it today, and apparently wasn't too much discussion about it during the trip. And so now, just like for the past week, we're mainly waiting to see what and when Israel begins their ground offensive in Gaza. But we still don't know yet. So apparently that's still being worked out. And I imagine the only reason Israel hasn't begun, it's not just because of the logistical difficulty of the invasion, but it's also because it is a very complex, delicate situation. I'm sure that they're trying to clear the way diplomatically for them to be able to carry this out. And I'm sure there's a lot of politicking happening behind the scenes between Iran and Saudi Arabia, between Egypt and Israel, between the United States and Israel. Turkey's involved as well. So we're really just waiting for this thing to kick off. Maybe it never will. I hope it never does, but it seems like it will. So that's where we are. Not too much else to say about it that hasn't already been said. I don't want to repeat because we've really kind of been in the same place for about a week. The hospital bombing was a bit of a switch up, and I forget what it was necessarily we covered on Monday, but we're really just at this stalemate at this stage where we're waiting on the Gazans to evacuate so Israel can go in, and we're also waiting for there to be some confidence that Iran is not going to immediately attack Israel once they begin the ground offensive. So that's where we are. And we'll wait and see what happens. But I want to move on. I want to get into our super chats and see what you guys are saying about all this. So let me take a look here. Get my water out. And we'll see what you have to say. Just give me one sec. Okay.
Droxer sent $50. It's been a while. Hope you're well.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Sleep schedule's messed up again, so that sucks.
Zirkin sent $3. Israel says 10/7 was 14 times America's 9/11, so one Israeli equals seven Americans? Could just as easily be half New York's 9/11 or 1/10 Manhattan's 9/11. A life is a life regardless of per capita comparison.
Yeah, could you? Yeah, how about that? Joe Biden said that the attack on Israel was 14 9/11s. Could you imagine? Those were Americans that died. You're an American president. 9/11 was a national tragedy when thousands of Americans died. And you fly to Israel and say, well, this is a way bigger deal. This is like if 9/11 happened 14 times. That's your own country, man. That's your own country. Those are your own people. Could you imagine saying such a thing? That'd be like if your relative died. That'd be like if your dad died and you went somewhere and you're like, wow, this is way worse. This is like if my dad died 100 times. I'm so sorry. How could you say something like that? You're the American president. 9/11 was a atrocity on American soil that killed thousands of Americans. And he goes over there and says, well, relatively speaking, this is way worse. Just goes to show, man. That's just straight up treachery.
Shitpilled sent $7. Have you seen the video of the 1933 World's Fair where the Jews roll in a statue of Moloch while dancing? There's a short video on Footage Farm if you're interested. Anyways, keep doing God's work, less than three.
I've seen that, although some of that footage is from a movie. Some of it's real. Some of it is from a movie. I know the clip you're talking about, so there's some issues with the source.
Keaton Bush sent $3. Didn't an early 20th century Zionist claim to have invented modern terrorism? And they have the gall to call their prisoners terrorists.
Yeah, Manachem Begin said that they invented terrorism in the whole world.
Pretty underscore fly underscore white underscore guy sent $3. 256. Jews love to claim Jesus when it's convenient.
It's not about when it's convenient. They do that to stump the goy. You know, whenever we say we love Jesus, they say, well, Jesus was a Jew. It's like, no, Jesus was God, bitch. You go up there and say, Christ is King, and they say, Jesus was a Jew. It's like, you know, and that's just like some cheap, it's almost like a way to blaspheme. And that's their, like, blasphemous retort. But of course, they hate Jesus. They consider him a traitor.
Zoomed underscore Buffon sent $6. A Drummond's church, and for the soul of Nick Fuentes. Lord, hear our prayer.
For Nick Fuentes, who will be protected against organized Jewry. For Nick Fuentes in his war against Ben Shapiro. Is that blasphemous to make this joke? Lord, hear our prayer. Yeah, that would be some church. Could you imagine that mass? for Nick Fuentes and the Groypers as they continue to fight organized Jewry in America. We pray to the Lord. Could you imagine hearing that in mass? That's some mass that A.T. Drummond's got going on. No, but I appreciate it. I appreciate his prayers, but it is a little funny to think about.
Problem Child sent $5. What are your thoughts on the death penalty and the Catholic Church's position on it?
Well, the Catholic Church supported the death penalty for a long time. So I don't know what the status is of there, because I know they're not in favor of it currently, but I don't know, is that infallible? I don't know the details of that.
Jewish.
But I'm in favor of the death penalty.
And Rub sent $3. I like to apologize for the cringe comment last night. It was a joke and never meant to be taken seriously. El mass migration in all forms.
Okay, I don't even remember what you said.
Dem Boys 1 cent $10. World War III seems imminent. Easy way to call fighting age males before a world government is established. Peugeot tweeted World War I led to League, World War II to UN, World War III to WorldGov. Ukraine shows the West has no will to promote peace. How do we practically adapt to this?
There's no way to adapt. If that happens, it's like it's biblical, in my opinion. And there's not much that can be done. We should fight it and we should speak out against it. But what do you mean, how are we going to adapt to it? These are forces that are far more powerful than we are. So, you know, if that's what it's going to be, then this is like sign of the times, you know.
THHHHHHHHHH sent $10. Lost a bet to you in my dreams. I superchated Vosh has got to be a CIA asset. You berated me and said, no idiot, he's just a fat imbecile. Seeing him cope about Zionist influence. Turns out you were right. A bet's a bet, here's your dollar. See you later tonight.
Okay, thanks.
Wow, Fi sent $10. If you call a synagogue a brothel, a den of vice, the devil's refuge, Satan's fortress, a place to deprave the soul, an abyss of every conceivable disaster or whatever you will, you are still saying less than it deserves, Saint Jerome.
Based? Based Saint? Based Saint in a swastika hat? No, but it's true.
Marco sent $10. Nearly everyone else covering the war, and politics, in general, is either a faggot nerd or a yapper. Thank you for being so great at what you do.
Thank you.
Thank God for America first.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Chad Champion sent $3. I think these events really show the idea of God's plan. In 2020 we were all disappointed Trump lost, but it might have been for the better looking at it now. We have to keep the faith and trust God's plan.
Dude, are you kidding me? I'm playing this game and this fag just like spammed money. I'm playing the stupid play to win or pay to win mobile game. And this fag, we start beating this guy and he just starts dumping hundreds of dollars into the game. He just summoned four fighters, blew up my bomber, two rail guns. Faggot, dude. Fuck this game. I quit. Anyway. That's just gay. Oh, now I have four fighters here, all of us. That's just cheating. Anyway. I just pulled it up in the other tab, and I'm just losing my mind over here. Unreal.
Sterling Stegix, I sent $3. Latinas aren't my type, BC, they're hairy.
We don't care. No one cares.
Indians aren't my type, BC, they're smelly. Asians aren't my type, BC, they're not white. Blacks aren't my type, BC, they're black.
Yeah, hilarious.
Jewish hand rubs.
Racial humor. Fuck you, fucking idiot. I'm sorry, but you know, like, I just can't be around, like, average people. Like, average people are just a poison. They're a poison and a pestilence. You just get these, like... Like, for example, that guy, Alaric the Barbarian on Twitter. I listened to his podcast, and he's just like the definition of mediocrity. Like, I literally sat in the Target parking lot and listened to like a half hour of an appearance he made on some podcast, just hating it. And it was exactly what I thought it would be. It was just like a total nitwit, total inarticulate nitwit, no profundity, no insight, no nothing. Just like an absolute knucklehead. And then I read that, then you get a super chat like this where it's like just pedestrian racial humor, you know. Yeah, take another sip of your beer, you fucking idiot. Sorry, I'm sorry, it's a little, that was over the top, that wasn't really warranted. I'm sorry, maybe that was a little too much, but I just can't stand that. I just can't stand it. You know, it's just like this perfunctory pedestrian fucking noise that you make with your mouth. So, anyway, I don't know if that was bait, but that's so lame. 'Cause they're black. Fuck off. Yeah, hilarious. Oh, I get it, because basic racial humor. What is this? Fourth grade daycare? Unbelievable.
Sent $3. If the Jewish Zionists really had their way, they would have bombed us in America like
terrible
they do in Gaza.
Terrible.
But anyways, love you, Nick. You're an inspiration to all of us.
You're right about that. They would do that.
Sterling Stegix, I sent $3. Why is it particularly offensive when you call a black guy monkey versus when I call anyone else monkey? Is it because they have so many glaringly similar characteristics?
Duh. Shut up. You're a monkey. You're a fucking monkey. Because you're stupid. And I hate you! No, I'm kidding. I don't hate anyone. I love everyone. I love everyone. I love everyone. Can you tell? Can you tell? I love everyone. I love everyone. Come here. I love everyone. I love everyone. That's the message of this show. I love everyone. I love everyone. I love everyone. I love everyone. No, but I really do. And I really do, and I really mean it. Do you believe me? No, I love monkeys. You're a stupid monkey, and I love monkeys. I want a pet monkey. Anyway. Yeah, this asshole summoned four fighters. Go fuck yourself. Four fighters. Seriously? What a fag. And he killed my car. Can we dox this guy? Does anyone know any exploits in Supremacy 1914? If you do, please DM me on Twitter. I need a way to either hack this game to win or to get this guy's personal address and name. So if anyone works at Supremacy 1914, please tell me. And please help me murder rape this guy in a video game in Minecraft. Because this is just outrageous. Four fighters. Ass. Anyway. Sorry for all the language. I'm just a little heated, okay? We put a lot of time into this game, and then now this is happening. Seriously? It's outrageous. It's unfair. All right. I'm sending my bomber home. That's just absurd. I need to either dox this guy or throw the game. I just can't. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to play if we're doing this shit. Just lands in Australia, buys four planes. Anyway, sorry. I know you don't care.
Boogly Woogly sent $10. It's white pilling seeing the Tucker Carlson ambivalent Zionists, and everyone who isn't a fervent Zionist, calling out the insanity. It's not lost on normal people why there isn't a hint of standard diplomacy.
Yeah, Tucker's been good on this so far.
Boogly Woogly sent $5. Is 2024 going to be about Israel now? How would that play out on stage?
It depends. It depends on how long it is.
Joey Bats sent $3. Plot twist. Jews were the shape-shifting interdimensional aliens all along.
True.
Smoothie King Grow Hyper sent $10. Here's some money for a smoothie, King.
Thanks.
Pazios sent $3. Struggle with all your power to gain paradise. And do not listen to those who say that everyone will be saved. This is trap of Satan so that we want struggle. St. Pazios. Read Ephesians 6:12.
Yeah, no, you don't understand my position because you're retarded.
Joey Bats sent $3. For years the right have bitched about being called racist, homophobic, etc. from the left. Now they call everyone anti-Semitic who criticizes Israel. I thought facts don't care about feelings, Ben?
Yeah, he's kind of like hypocritical. You know, I think he's a little hypocritical, don't you think?
SSRI underscore Kozer sent $3. There seem to be Fed posters in Rumble chat tonight. It's called Fed posting for a reason. Thanks to the mods that are able to sort out all that garbage.
Yeah,
and thank you.
Please don't.
Oh, said I'd have bitched about being called racist, homophobic.
Hang on. Oh, I started playing my show. Don't Fed post in the live chat. Let's see. Someone says, Nick is getting clapped by a pay-to-win whale. That's so true. You can't beat no-life whales. Let's see. Where's the Fed? I guess the mods are taking care of the Fed posting. I appreciate that. I don't usually read the Rumble live chat, but that's funny. Okay, let's see.
French Catholic sent $3. The Doxtruck story is enraging. Little by little, people are getting used to dystopic levels of surveillance and thought control, like the frog in the boiling water. Great show tonight. Love you, man.
Very true. Thank you, man. Love you, too.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. As an expert on Trump, how would the Israel trip have gone if he was president, and do you think Trump buys the Israeli hospital story?
I don't know that Trump would have made a trip to Israel, and it's hard to say because so much of the diplomacy is happening behind the scenes, and so much of it is dependent on prior actions, you know? I mean, I wonder if Hamas would have tried it if Trump were president, you know. I wonder if Hamas would have gone in. But let's assume they did. Let's say that Hamas went in, Israel responded. What my prediction is that Trump would be more bellicose, and he would be threatening Iran directly. And he probably wouldn't even need to make a trip out there, but he would be going fire and fury, because that's his strategy. Trump understands deterrence very well. He employed the same approach with Iran and North Korea when he was president. So it would be roughly the same playbook, but I don't know that he would visit, actually. And as far as the hospital story, I don't know. I mean, that's hard to say. That would be, you know, I feel like he might have said something off script, or he would have said off the teleprompter that maybe they did it. He'd definitely be trying to restrain the Israelis, though. I think he would be doing more to stand up to Israel and force them to restrain themselves against Gaza.
Pragmatic Culture sent $10. Saw a clip today about Bibi's role in the assassination of former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin because he was making inroads with the PLO. This guy and all of Likud are just straight-up exterminationists. Evil stuff.
Yeah, they're bad people.
Classic American Man sent $10. Nick, after that cringe super chat, I hate, I don't like.
That's so real. I hate, I don't like. What did he say? Ugly, stupid freaks. Yeah, that's so me.
Demboys1 sent $3. Also, last night's message didn't go through, but I'm a new viewer, and I think since this conflict is mainstreaming JQ, you gotta do another podcast tour. FNF, Value Attainment R2, get that clout, sir.
Oh, do I? Thanks for telling me. Yeah, let me pick up the phone. Hey, give me back on the show. Yeah, let me just, I love when people do, get your clout, sir. Shut the, dude, I just can't even tonight. I can't deal with this.
Donald E. Rump sent $5. Hey, Nick, I had a dream about you. We were playing Fortnite together, and I bet you $5 that you couldn't beat me 1v1.
Okay, that's hilarious. Thanks.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Arabs be like, Allah, please bring Hitler back to save us. That really do love the big guy.
They do. Yeah, they're big fans.
Jay Malarkey sent $109. You really think Israel will go in? Their troops are mainly reservists. You think they want the consequences, when Jewish lives are more worth than goy? Maybe they'll keep trying to provoke us, until USS Liberty. I hate social media right now. If you have time, would love a reaction stream on Kirk, Shapiro, et al. Thank you.
Oh, you would? Oh, right away, sir! What else can I get you? Can I get you anything else? Would you like more water? What else would you like? Can I get you anything else? You all set? How's everything tasting tonight? Need more water? Need some ketchup? Ketchup, mustard? Oh, you'd love that? I love when people say that. Oh, if you have the time, I'd love. Oh, right away, sir. Let me get that for you. Anything else? Dude, just, it's not the, not my night tonight. It's not my night tonight. It's a hump day. It's a hump day, dump day. Show sucks. Anyway, thanks for the big super chat, I guess. Yeah, I think they'll go in. I think they have to. They might not. I said it earlier. I said maybe they won't, but I think they have to. I think that at this point they're obligated to go in and do some damage. The idea that they're going to provoke a USS Liberty is ridiculous. That's just not going to happen. Yeah. I'd love a reaction. You know, maybe I'll do that. Just don't say it like that. Just say, could you do that? I mean, don't say, hey, I'd love that. Like, well, like I work for you. Hey, would love a reaction stream. Oh, well, you know what I'd like? Well, I don't even want to tell you. But you know what I'd like right now? I'd like a mozzarella cheeseburger. But, you know, I have to sit here and do this show. So you could ask. You could just say, hey, Do you, could you do a stream? But hey, you know, when you get a chance, I'd like, you know, you're talking to me like I'm a waiter. Anyway, so I might do a stream, but not because you told me you'd like one. Thanks for the super chat, though. Hey, when you get a chance, I'd love. Who are you talking to? You know what I'd like? That's what I had last night. I was letting Gina down. I let Gina down. I had a mozzarella stick cheeseburger. That's a cheeseburger with mozzarella sticks on it and marinara sauce from Denny's. Because that's all that was open. And I let her down. I didn't even throw up, though. I was like, just finished eating it, and I'm like, yep, instant regret. That was trash. I was like, instant regret. That was trash. I'm going to be throwing up in 4 hours. I'm going to be throwing up in 4 to 6 hours. But I held it down. I was good. I'm like a raccoon. The stuff that I eat, I'm like a raccoon. Because I'm nocturnal. I eat at night. I eat a bunch of garbage. I'm literally like a little raccoon. Maybe I want a pet raccoon. That would be kind of fun, don't you think? Like a pet squirrel. I'm thinking about getting a bunny. Maybe I'll get a bunny. Because I hate the new dog. The new dog is so annoying. And my parents refuse to train him. They just abjectly refuse. My parents have become those dog people that everyone hates, where you come over and the dog is all over you and they're like, oh, he's so bad. Hey, get down. Get like impotent. They impotently stand over here while the dog is jumping on you and say, get down. Stop it. Oh, he's terrible. Stop it. I'm like, dude, what are we doing here? You have to, and they won't let me discipline the dog. If I yell at the dog, everyone gets mad. If I yell at the dog, it's like I punched him in the face. You would have thought that me raising my voice at the dog, you would have thought I just punched him in his face. The way they freak. Because that's how I had to train the first dog. I didn't even train him. I would just yell at him when he was misbehaving. And suddenly he was behaving around me. But this dog, I can't yell at him. And as a result, he's just a monster. So I said, you know, I'm going to get a bunny. I'm going to watch movies with the bunny. I'm going to eat with the bunny. We're going to hang out all the time. He'll be on the show. Thoughts? So I think I'm going to get a bunny. I don't know where you get them, though. Do you capture them? How are you supposed to capture these things? I try to catch them, but they're too fast. I tried to catch one the other day. I don't run fast enough. So I don't know where you get them. I see them in my backyard. I try and scoop them up, but to no avail. They're pretty quick. So I don't know where to get them. Do you throw a net on them? Is it throw a carrot in a box or something? I don't know how you're supposed to get these guys, but these little guys are pretty fast. So anyway, but I'm thinking of getting one. I just can't catch them. So I think one of these days I'm going to try and find one and I'll hang out all the time. Because the dog's just not doing it. The dog's just pissing me off, man. And I'm allergic. My dad just laughs. The dog is all over, won't leave me alone. I'm having a terrible allergic reaction. My dad's laughing. I'm like, you know, really? The Chad Boomer. Chad Boomer gets a dog that you're allergic to. It causes you all kinds of respiratory problems. He says, quit your bitching. No, stop. Quit being a baby. You know, the Chad Boomer. Love that move. Gets two dogs that you're allergic to. Forces you to retreat to your room where there's an air purifier. Complain. Says your allergies are made. He says that's not real. He says, you're not allergic. Come on. You're a baby. It's like, dude, come on, man. So I'm going to get it. But yeah, so we love boomers. Boomers are just classic. Aren't they a treat? My dad.
He also always has like the hot take. I'll be at the table going off on Israel, Palestine, or whatever. We'll have dinner. And, and then my dad will weigh in and say, here's the point. I'll talk about something less charged. I don't want to get him in trouble. But, like, when BLM was going on, he's like, here's the point. You got all these black athletes at the NFL taking a knee for BLM. I think they're a bunch of hypocrites. Where are you guys going out and showing solidarity? Like, that's all. The boomer take is always like, it's always like a hot take, but it's not hot at all. It's like a hot take. They refuse to take a side. They just introduce something like, oh, well, you know, the real problem is everyone's a hypocrite. The real problem is, the money doesn't even go to abolishing the police. When BLM raises money, it doesn't even go to abolishing the police. They're paying for some mansion. I think they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, you think black people are oppressed? You know, these NFL players, they make more money than anybody. So how are you oppressed, pal? Hey, listen, pal. Just keep that stuff out of my sports. I'm like, bro. Come on, man. Come on. Work with me here, you know? Anyway. So, we love the boomers, but somebody in the chat says, ever heard of Quitcha? He says, somebody in the chat has ever heard of Quitcha? Yeah, Quitcha Bitcha, that's great. Classic boomers. Anyway.
John Dave Irving sent $3. Spent my normal dono on 4 fighters and a couple bombers.
I laughed at that earlier. It's not funny anymore because I read that one a few chats ago, but that was funny. Someone has to help me figure out how we're going to kill this guy because this is just bullshit. It's just cheap bullshit. He just summons. He takes over territory and then Gold Rush spams a level 5 fort, a level 4 factory, a railroad, a railgun, 4 fighters. Really? Unbelievable. What a load of shit. Yeah, this whole game was just cheap. Cheap as fuck. Anyway.
Beards and Beardsley sent $5. Honest question. Why do you think Jared Taylor and Scott Greer avoid talking about Jews? I like them both a lot, but would it be better if they started saying the unspoken obvious?
Well, their priority is immigration restriction, so that's the only thing they talk about.
Poovibe sent $3. Balls. Farid Lukovic sent $20. Ned and Yohu is a Polish hell spawn. Thanks, Poland.
Is he really Polish? No way. Dude, that would be such a W for me. If he's Polish. He looks Polish. His mother was born in Jerusalem. His father was born in Warsaw. Wow. Thanks, Poland. This guy is such scum, dude. Yeah, you can have him, Poland. That's such a W for me, though. Personal.
Jay Malarkey sent $50. I'm never being polite again, lol.
LOL. I guess I'm never going to be polite again. Passive aggressive. Nice. You're not being polite. You're being rude. You're being rude. You may not realize it, but you're being rude. Next time, ask.
Never being polite again.
Why the LOL? Why the LOL? I thought you're done being polite. Pretty non-committal, isn't it? Isn't that a little non-committal? If you're gonna be mad, just be mad. Just say, huh, I'm never gonna be polite again. Why put the LOL? Is that to lower the temperature a little bit? Turn it up. Can't take the heat? Get the fuck out of here. Can't take the heat? Go away. He says LOL at the end. Uh-huh.
last time I'll ever be polite. LOL.
Why the LOL? What, are you afraid? You backing down already? Don't give me an LOL. Don't do an LOL on the end. Just commit. Commit. If you're going to say that, then commit. If you're mad, just say it. Just say, wow, last time I'll ever be polite. Just own it. Just say it. Just say it. Don't LOL at the end. I don't like when people do that. I don't like the passive-aggressive LOL that people do. I'm confrontational. I don't like, don't give me the passive-aggressive LOL at the end. Don't give me that. Confront me. Fight me. Punch me in the face. You got to fight me. Don't give me an LOL at the end. And you weren't polite. You were rude. I'd love a show. How is that polite? When you get a chance, I'd love a show. That's not polite. That's presumptuous.
Basterisk sent $5. Can you do another one of those like 9-hour streams? Rumble exclusive.
There you go. See, that's polite. That's polite. That is totally acceptable. I may do one soon. Yeah, maybe. My sleep schedule's messed up, so maybe.
Valtor sent $100. Humanitarian aid for your army to kick that whale's ass.
Seriously.
God bless.
I need 100 billion gold mark. I need one of the super chatters to step up and airlift me 100 billion gold mark so I could go to town on this guy.
Korlik sent $10. Feels like this is Israel's only chance for their greater Israel. Too many people are waking up for Israel to let things normalize.
No, wrong. Wrong take.
Beards and Beardsley sent $7. Thank you, Nick, for calling out the Jews.
Thank you.
Baldurin sent $20. Some change for the war effort.
I'm not spending any money on that game. Out of principle. All right, we got some on Cozy. Sam Groiper with a big super chat. Thank you very much. He says, thank you for being our voice. Hey, thank you very much for the big super chat. I appreciate it. Chakra? Isn't it? What is that? Is it chakras? Am I pronouncing that right? Chakras. Chakra Disruptor says, one question. Are you familiar with Fear and Trembling by Kierkegaard and his Knight of Faith figure? God bless you, man. Thank you. No, I never read Kierkegaard. But thank you. I appreciate the super chat. Chakra Disruptor says, hey, Nick, started RCIA recently. Just wanted to thank you for your strong leadership and example. Adolf Hitler quoted Martin Luther once, if the world be filled with devils, we must and shall succeed. So true. You know, maybe Martin Luther was right about that. And a super chat from Milk Tea Groiper with no message. And we got a few more here. On the other
Beards
one.
And Beardsley sent $5. Nick teaching us how to not be cringe.
Trying.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $5. Missed the show again because of those fucking migrants. Had to deal with them all day. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Tired of my country being...
The underscore lord wrong. Underscore is underscore god sent $3. Nick, if you really want to torment your adversaries, grow yourself a little Hitler mustache. That would be funny.
Hilarious. Okay! All right. That's going to do it for me. That's the last super chat. Well, that's it. That's my show. Okay. Yes, that's all I got for you. As always, remember to follow me here on Cozy and Rumble, cozy.tv/Nick, and follow me on Rumble. I'm live on both every night. Follow me on Telegram as well. Links are down below. I'm on the air every Monday through Friday around like 10 o'clock Central normally. Also, special thanks to all our top super chatters, including Jay Malarkey, Valter, and Sand Groiper. Special thanks to all them. Thanks to all our super chatters, everybody that watches the show. We love you. And I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again.